Great big thanks, Brian and Mike. Will you join me in thanking them for sharing, for Mike's great leadership? So good. Thank you for leading the way like that. How many of you would say that you, now this is reaching back a bit, some vintage movie lore here. How many of you would say you're Princess Bride fans? Remember the old movie Princess Bride? Okay, so there's this scene at the Cliffs of Insanity. Remember the Cliffs of Insanity? This scene right there where Wesley has chased the princess and her captors, and they have climbed the cliff via this very, very long rope. Not sure where the rope came from, but, you know, the rope shows up. And then once they're up at the top, all of them are there safely, they gather the rope back up and they store it there. And then suddenly they look down and Wesley's climbing up by his fingertips. So here comes Wesley climbing up. And Inigo Montoya shouts down the cliff to him, "I do not suppose you could speed things up." And Wesley replies, "If you're in such a hurry, you could lower a rope or a tree branch or find something useful to do." Inigo replies, "I could do that. I've got some rope up here, but I do not think you'd accept my help since I am only waiting around to kill you." And Wesley says, "Well, that does put a damper upon our relationship. You know, certain relationships can require a great deal of patience. Have you noticed that? Certain relationships require a great deal of patience. Must confess, I want to snap back, and too often I do when provoked for too long. Anyone else? I must confess, I grow weary and I consider giving up when I'm maligned and then maligned some more and maligned some more. Anybody else? Yeah. And I must confess, a lot of people have a lot of shortcomings. Arrgh. Anybody else? Yeah, so if you can identify with me on any or all of those, then we're in the same boat needing today's slice of Christ-like fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, St. Paul says, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience." Patience. Now, it's very good to recall, the Apostle Paul writes to these first century churches, calling them back to the true gospel of grace, solid personal faith in Christ instead of their legalistic, works-based law-keeping. There was a great conflict in these churches, great conflict in these churches. They were pushing Paul's buttons, so he blends strong teaching with personal story in his letter. And as he does that, he's quite confident that walking in step with the Spirit, Christ's Spirit, intentional growth in faith-oriented character instead of the works of the flesh will catalyze new creation. That new creation, he says toward the end of the letter, that's what matters most, and that's what we each need. That new creation working in us by the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And so far, he's spoken of love and joy. And last week, Randy led us in thinking about peace. And now, today, this slice of the fruit, patience. And this one, well, this one very naturally follows in Paul's thinking, but already you probably sense it, that be warned. This one's extra challenging. Extra challenging. Patience. It's likely making Paul's list of holy fruit slices because he's really needing to practice it with the Galatians. Vital to realize the original ancient word carries way more color and texture, way more color and texture than our typical idea of simple patience. You might say, I'm feeling impatient, or oh boy, that one of our kids is not a very patient kid. Or that coworker sure needs some more patience, or I sure need to be more patient. This has much greater color and texture than that. It's a combo word. As many old dusty Greek words are, the combo word is macro and thumia. Macro and thumia. You're familiar with macro, yeah, big, like Big Mac, or Mack truck. This is long. This is an 18-wheeler kind of word. It's super long. It truly is. It's macro. And thumia. Thumia was originally up the meaning alley of passion, rage, anger, and then even suffering, like hard, tough, long, sweaty suffering. So in common literature, it meant a prolonged restraint of anger. In the Bible, it's way more than like passive resignation or shrug of your shoulders or just some kind of leniency towards somebody who's ticked you off. Some other English translations say long suffering. And others say forbearance. That idea of bearing with someone or some situation, like almost all of these Christ-like character qualities, like almost all of them we've seen already, love and joy and peace, this one also is sourced in God's own character. It originates, it springs up in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit's own character. So in Exodus 34, God reveals his character to Moses. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generations. Now, this gives us a glimpse into the character of God, a big glimpse into his character, and shows us a God who is indeed robust in every way. Yes, a God of holy justice. Yes, a God who judges sin. Yes, a God who takes life and choices and sin very seriously. And don't miss it, he's a slow to anger God. He's full of mercy. Love and grace abound. He works in people's lives in incredible ways, gushing his grace and his love over and over and over again, even while at the same time he is holy and just, holy and righteous and judges sin. His love abounds, and this becomes a touchstone description of God's own character. Not just once right here with Moses, but all throughout the scripture, this becomes a something of a song that gets sung like a broken record again and again. So a spot like Psalm 103, verses 7 through 10. And Joel, the prophet Joel, in Joel 2 and verse 13, they say it, a God, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. These spots echo it as so important for us to grasp foundational truth about the Lord, leading us to trust him more. See, this isn't just one of those truths about God's character that it's good to pack away as some knowledge about God. It's not just one of those truths to go, oh, ooh, wow, wonderful, cool. It's good to do that. But it's one of those truths that can actually lead us toward transformative change from the inside out, can lead us to receive that love and grace and spread it to others, can lead us to receive it and give it. So such patience, forbearance, long-suffering on God's part, when we really believe that, receive it as true for us humans, then it motivates us to express it in our various unpleasant situations. We can face troubling circumstances and troubling people with real endurance without blowing up or hitting out. It's long rope. It's long rope. It's long rope that God extends to us as humans again and again and again. And he calls us to extend such long rope. Our quick reaction might be lashing out, or it might be slow burn resentment. Some of us think we're doing well, that we're being slow to anger because we just hold it in. We just burn inside with it. We don't blast it out there, we just And inside, we work on that, and we let it heat up, and then it kind of simmers down a little, but then it heats up some more, and it's something of a slow burn resentment. Recall how Paul, right before listing the fruit slices, gets after these. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Right before the fruit of the Spirit, right before that, Paul says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, Paul says, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Yes. Tough words. Serious words. Notice what's laced in there as antithetical. Here are works of the flesh versus fruit of the Spirit. Human responsibility versus divine godly enablement. With conflicts and spiritual battle in view, Scott McKnight says this. Paul describes flesh under the term works. Well, he sees the Spirit's work as fruit. The change of terms to fruit evokes a different image from one of human responsibility to one of divine enablement. The image of fruit has a certain sense of passivity to it. It is the Spirit of God who produces such things, and they grow in the life of the Christian. We had a really great conversation in our life group last Sunday night about this very concept. It's one of those cool moments when something kind of comes up as a sidebar in our group discussion, and we started chatting about this whole concept of this truly being the fruit of the Spirit of God. And the need for us to actually rely on, trust in the work of God in our lives, and that this really does take us further and deeper into the faith journey if we dare to believe that it is the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of John Pletcher or the fruit of you, that it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit in us working. And if we're not careful, we can get that really mixed up. And even in something like a series on the fruit of the Spirit, we can get confused and be like, okay, check it off. I got to work to be more loving. I got to work to be more patient. And again and again, it's about us coming before Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and relying on him to create in us, in this case today, that greater long-suffering, that long road. Scott McKnight is saying right here, whereas the flesh destroys fellowship, here the Spirit creates fellowship and unity and holiness. Think on that. Whereas the flesh destroys fellowship, the Spirit creates fellowship and builds unity and even greater holiness. Wrong time of day, when you land on Centerville Road, on the wrong side of those railroad tracks. Anybody? No doubt you need greater patience. No doubt we all need greater endurance right now to stay the course during the pandemic. Stay the course. For a lot of us right now, it can be really tempting to say, I'm done with this. I am so done. I want to quit. Hey, the fact that you're here this morning gathered or you're joining in online, that's a good sign. That means you're not giving up on hope. That means you are staying in the battle, staying in the race. Stay there. Stick. Persevere. Continue to blend that important wisdom, caution with courage and bold faith. Let those blend together in your heart and stay the course. Don't give up. Please. Pletcher fam, this week, we had a week of broken things. Anybody here ever have a week of broken things? We had a week of broken things. Our van, our minivan heater broke. Kitchen microwave, kapoop. And yesterday, in the Lowe's parking lot, I come out from spending money at Lowe's to get into my CRV and nothing. Now, honestly, praise God, all three, relatively easy fixes. At the moment, they're working, all three. And we hope and pray that they keep working. But what? These are circumstantial issues, pesky things that require patience. And yes, while circumstantial macrothumia like that is important and valid, that's not likely Paul's most pressing idea right here. No. There are a lot of annoying people. Have you noticed that? Many people say many stupid things. Have you noticed that? My dad used to say while driving, we'd be out on the road somewhere, and there'd be certain days we'd be out there, and he'd say, there are just so many idiots out here today. And I was sitting next to him watching how he drove, and I was like, just stare at the road, John, just stare at the road. Don't say anything, just stare at the road. Paul gets very personal, relational with this slice of fruit. He's longing for us to be long rope people. He is longing for us to be long rope people based on God's long rope character of love and compassion and mercy and forgiveness. When's the last time you had a heated argument with your spouse or a coworker? Is there a grudge that you're nursing towards someone who really ticked you off? Paul's aiming to help us see the Spirit's cultivation in us to help us through fiery relational situations that wreak havoc and wreck our homes, our workplaces, our church, and friendships. Some of us heard hateful words last fall in the thick of the election hubbub, and we're still harboring bitterness towards someone who said it. Others of us just can't seem to shake something totally ridiculous that a friend or a coworker said this week, or the nonverbals you got from somebody on a Zoom meeting that you're still, can't believe they gave me that look on the screen. At the core of this issue is Jesus' outlook on forgiveness. Because it's all about Jesus, it's tremendous to see how he employed this concept. One day, Peter asked Jesus this question, Matthew 18, verse 21. Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Now, Peter's learning. He's a growing disciple. He's young in following Jesus. And so he thinks, I've got to introduce this core topic here with the master and find out. And he actually, he thinks that, you know, he's going to be extra impressive because he suggests seven times. The teachers of the day often said three, maybe four. You put some limits on it, that kind of thing. And he's been hanging around Jesus, and he knows there's this great godly numbers. And so he brings this up. And look at Jesus' response. Verse 22. Jesus answered, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. Now, there's debate, like, was this 77 or some translations based on how the numbers show up in the ancient language end up saying 70 times seven, and people want to debate that, like counting it out, how many times do I have to forgive? And that wasn't really even Jesus' point at all. It actually was the opposite. See, he took a question asked, and like he often did, he just springboards with the question, and he goes hyperbolic with it, and he says, you forgive, and you forgive some more, and you keep forgiving, and you forgive some more, and you keep forgiving. You keep forgiving. That's Jesus' point. And then verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like, oh boy, here we go. A kingdom story. Jesus loved to do this. Loved to do this. The king tells a kingdom story. Verse 23, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. This was common that this could happen. Verse 26, at this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged. Macrothumia, that's what he begs. I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. Paltry compared to all that gold. He grabbed him, began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. And then, zinger, wrap up, final, Jesus says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Wow. Be patient with me. That's macrothumia. And Jesus' point is that we must mirror the king's forgiveness. We must mirror the king's forgiveness, the kind he's already shown us in our every interaction with others. I'm very convicted of our need to really take Jesus, King Jesus, seriously. We need this long rope. Truly, this long rope fruit, indeed, I'm stunned by how hot-headed and quick to anger, adamant and ugly, fire and fury, divisive we are right now. It seems those of us who claim to be followers of Jesus have really short fuses. And plenty of times, common, everyday moralists and atheists show more patience and kindness than Jesus' followers. And friends, this should not be. I know and wholeheartedly believe there is right and wrong to call out and stand up for, absolutely. The need for godliness and holiness is indeed so crucial, absolutely. But it's stunning how quick we are to let angry words fly. Doors get slammed, and those slammed doors, the sound echoes, sometimes for decades. friendships get severed in the name of boundaries. Some of us are just so threatened and scared, so it feels better to cut people off, blow up the relationship, or run away. So, how do we deal? How do we deal? How do we cultivate Christ-like patience in ways that are fully reliant on the Spirit and growth-oriented? I challenge you to pick up these patience builders today. Patience builders. Here's the first one. First patience builder. Stop, pause amid annoyance long enough to take the long view. Stop, pause in the midst of your annoyance long enough to take the long view. This word is used a bunch in the New Testament about waiting for Jesus' return. Jesus' brother James, James chapter 5, talks about the prophets and Job as examples. When people are mean, we can live out forbearance, knowing that eventually, long range, King Jesus will return to make all things right, to right every wrong, and fully redeem every injustice. He's got it. He does. And so pausing to remember that is so crucial when you've been wronged. When there's someone or too many someone's pushing all your buttons, the long view says, Jesus will return. He'll make it right. It's not my job to settle the score. Jesus will return. You can take that long view. And so it's so important. First patience builder, stop. Pause amid your annoyance long enough to take the long view. Second patience builder, make forgiveness a habit, not some extra special every so often stage event. Make forgiveness a habit. Not something that you, like it's just an every so often sort of thing. A habit. Forgiveness is sadly in such short supply, so rare. So we treat our family and friends like they're disposable. It's not working. Crumple it up, just pitch it, get some new ones. Long-suffering forgiveness should be regular, not rare in the life of a disciple. Disciples of Jesus, long rope should be regular, not rare. Most of us can really relate to the Phantom of the Opera, who famously said, "You try my patience, make your choice." So normal in the roller coaster of living to feel this way. And so we really, really need to stop and pause amid the annoyance long enough to take the long view. And second, to make forgiveness a habit, not just an occasional stage act. Third, patience builder, daily recall God's patient, long-suffering for you, for me, for us. Daily recall God's patient, long-suffering forgiveness for you, for me, for us. Probably, if you're like me, you need that multiple times each day. So to the Romans, Paul exploded this concept, Romans 2 and verse 4. Paul said, "Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance?" So vital we see how God gives long rope. So more people repent. So you repent. So I repent. Turn back to him and place our trust in Jesus. Have you done that? Have you reached out and grabbed that long, long rope of the mercy and the grace and the love of your loving, compassionate God who extends to you long, long rope? Have you grabbed hold of that rescue? Have you grabbed hold of it? If you haven't, do it today. Do it before you leave this morning. Do it before we're done singing in a few moments. grab that rope, receive that forgiveness, open your heart to his grace, to his love, say, yes, Jesus, I need that rope. Receive it. It's a long, long rope. Receive it today. His kindness is there to draw you in, to invite you into repentance. And so when you're tempted to say, nope, can't do long rope, nope, nope, no rope, just can't be patient with that person anymore, nope, I've had it, just can't forgive, look again at God's long suffering toward you in your sinfulness. Look at his long suffering for me, for us as humans in our sinfulness. Soak it up. When I'm running short of mercy, I've usually forgotten how merciful our gracious, loving Lord has been to me. I'm usually forgetting it. Let that motivate you to be more patient with others. Let the long rope of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit motivate you to be even more long rope with other people. Paul got this. Paul saw it. What happens in our hearts? What happens in our hearts? Well, we want everybody else to be long rope with us, right? What? Why? Well, because I'm still in process. I'm still growing. I'm still in process, and we want that from everybody else. But it's so crucial to slow down and realize, wait a minute, everybody else is still in process too. So Paul saw it in 1 Timothy 1:14. He says, "The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Wow. This is Paul, Saint Paul, the Apostle Paul. He says, I'm the worst. But for that very reason, notice that, but for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense macrothumia as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. One more faith builder. Final one. Make it your life aim to be known for giving out long rope. Make it your aim to be known for giving out long rope, for mirroring the likeness of Jesus, for reflecting him, that your heart is that changed, that your heart is that transformed, that you're a long rope person. I had a crazy bad dream this week. Now, you know, the dream experts, whoever they are, say that you're always dreaming, you just don't always remember them. Well, that's true of me, but every so often, I have this really vivid dream, and I wake up remembering it, and it happened this week, but it was a crazy bad dream, because in my dream, I was haunted by one of my college professors. Now, back in college, and I know some of you are like, oh, that makes sense, college professors can be scary. Yeah. Honestly, most of my college profs were really wonderful people, almost all of them, except there was this one, sincerely, and he was hard-nosed. And he was short-fused and definitely short rope. I mean, like, maybe a few threads of a rope if you needed mercy from him. That's all you would get. Tough as nails, seldom kind. And in my dream, this prof shows up in some town where I'm visiting with friends. Now, again, it turned into this really vivid dream where I'm with friends, and we're in this town, and we're walking down roads. And then all of a sudden, we'd be walking down a side road, and all of a sudden, here's this professor right there. And I would turn and go down another side road, and then he'd be right there. And then I got to go get coffee now. And so I go into a cafe. Of course, I got to get coffee. You know, and I go into a cafe, and suddenly he's there. I couldn't get away from him. And then I woke up. And I know what some of you are thinking. If you'd go sit with a shrink, they could have fun with you. Yeah, I know. But you know, when I woke up, I started thinking about this more. A lot more. Seriously made me think about this fruit. For real, this fruit of patience, of long suffering, of the long rope, of growing compassion. And I found myself saying, I really want people years from now. I really want people years from now. Kids, grandkids, people who work with me, students, people years from now to think of me as showing Jesus kindness, forbearance, patience, long rope, so they have the space to encounter Christ's Spirit actively working in them. That was Paul's point. God keeps, what's he do? He keeps giving long rope, what? So that repentance might be real. So that people might become more and more aware of the grace of God and might respond. So let's be long rope people. Seriously, let's be long rope people. Let's defy the odds of all the snipe and the snapback and the short-fusedness right now and the impatience and the give-up-itis. Let's instead be long rope people with the love of God, with the grace of God. Let's stand together. The team's going to come and lead us in a song that motivates us again to love with Jesus style love and focus all on him. Jesus, thank you so very much. Father, thank you so very much. Holy Spirit, thank you. From the depths of our heart, we thank you that you are slow to anger, abounding in love. Yes, you are righteous. You are the righteous judge. You are holy. You call us to live lives that reflect you, Jesus. Help us do that. And we admit it again, more than ever, we need you, Jesus. We need your Spirit to work, that new work in us. We can't do it on our own. Produce this new fruit, this new creation work of patience in us, Jesus, please.